Welcome to the All Wheels Rolling Podcast. My name is Mark Hamilton. You can find us on Facebook if you search All Wheels Rolling Podcast. We're on Instagram and Twitter, All Wheels Pod. And if you want to shoot us an email, it's allwheelsrolling@gmail.com. You can find us on Spotify and iTunes. Our show is now powered by Christine Pratt Physiotherapy. You can find her at christinepratt.ca. And the Crank and Sprocket Bicycle Company, you can find them at crankandsprocket.ca. Thanks for tuning in. Okay, so welcome to the show then. We got Hannah, Wendy, Kevin, Noah, Sims. Thanks for joining me, guys. Maybe we'll start with the parents. So we're at beautiful Cathedral Pines, but you guys started the kids off down at Hardwood. How did that come about?
Yeah, when Wendy and I were graduated from university and settled down here, we just were in the routine of riding ourselves, and Hardwood was around the corner, and we ended up finding Wednesday night's race series, loving it. And then when the kids came along, we just carried them to the race right out of the gate, and they have been riding with us for forever. We've kind of attached ourselves to that Wednesday night race series, and yeah, it's kind of become a norm for us.
Yep, the kids grew up there for sure. I think Hannah was probably 3 weeks old. My mom would take her, walk around with her. I'd get in a race and meet up at the end. So her first words, I think both kids were like, "Go, mom, go!" from a backpack on
go, dad, go.
And so that was their lives. Just took them along wherever we went. And
yeah, and then we reached the point where they could just ride themselves, right? So they loved the independence of Hardwood. They could arrive and then just like, "Yeah, mom, we'll see you at the end of the day," you know? Yeah. So the independence was pretty evident when they could just ride where they wanted on the property.
And it gave us independence too, because, you know, we were able to then split off and you knew it was safe, and they could say, "Well, we'll do the fun. We could go ride Gnarly or Radical," and we knew they were safe. We'd all meet back at the chalet, obviously popsicles or ice creams or something fun at the end. And it gave us great freedom as well when we knew, you know, they were safe there too. So
yeah, Wednesday night's awesome for if you watch the kids. Like how young did you guys start?
I think I started maybe like 4 or 5 the very first Wednesday night. Yeah. We were playing like soccer on Wednesday nights, and there's also the mountain bike race. So you're kind of going back and forth. We'd race one mountain bike race, one soccer game. And I think maybe when we were like 6 or 7, we were just like, "Yeah, we're done with soccer."
Mom and dad were like, "Yes." Good choice.
Yeah, secretly we were yes. Yeah, I think Noah tried to sprout kids with determined to ride it, and he still had some training wheels on or something, and quickly realized that wasn't going to work on wood chips and very quickly ditched the training wheels and took off. So,
Hannah, how about for you? How about?
Yeah, probably similar. Yeah, maybe I was 6 or so when we were kind of made the soccer to biking switch.
I think it's quite something to see the younger kids now, because there's the Strider bikes or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the like pedal pushers course or something, too. It's good.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I think it was fun for us to see the group that we connected with as adults on the Wednesday night races, and it was our social and fun. And then we all started having kids, like Maywissa kids, Holgrim kids, Sims kids, like this whole group that were, and now the kids came along and they all got thrown in, and it just ended up being great social for everybody, adults and kids. So we dragged them out at, you know, dark from the park, like, "Time to go home." So yeah. School night, let's get home.
Yeah, I guess that's the worst part of the Wednesday night, is it is a school night, so
yeah.
You gotta shut her down a little respectively, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and it's amazing the adrenaline that comes off a whole family racing, like the car ride home, you get everyone home and they're just wired from this great adrenaline that night. So yeah, it does take a bit to kind of wind down after that and get everyone to bed, so.
Yeah, when we first started, you saw the results that were posted just on a sheet of paper. And then as soon as Glenn migrated to the online one, it was like a race to get home to see how you did.
How many points? What's my ranking in the overall series?
Yeah, exactly. So, yep.
And we'll just go around. What's your favorite course? Do you have a favorite trail hardwood?
I definitely always loved Sidewinder or Gnarly. Those are the go-tos.
Yeah, I used to race Radical every night. There was a group of us, and that's what I did. But now, you know, I look back and I just love some of the flowy stuff like Susie Saunter in Sirius and Coffee Run. Those are great memory trails for me. So.
Yeah, there's actually a trail named after me. It's called Simmers Down, and it's like a piece of Radical, so I'd have to go with that. We actually have the when Noah and I were racing at a really competitive level, we had the family crown, and it was like, I don't know, whoever was the fastest on Radical on any given night had the crown. So,
nice.
Yeah.
It was back when we were kind of going back and forth of who was faster. And yeah, we'd race Radical together, and he beat me one night, I beat him the next night, and we just go back and forth basically on Radical like every night. And,
until you officially got the crown, I think.
You can still beat me in some sections. I'll give it to him. But yeah, for me, it's probably like, yeah, same thing, like Sidewinder, the Coffee Run's just unbeatable. Like that long section along the road there, it's just so much fun.
Yeah. And were you guys upset or happy? They did a little maintenance, was that 2 years ago they did? They reworked some of Coffee Run. I think they made it a little wider.
Yeah, there's a few more lines now, I think. Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like the original's still ingrained.
That's awesome.
Hannah was doing tons of racing, mountain biking, after grade 9, grade 10. She's like, no, you know what? I need a break. You know, she still seemed to like it, but she wanted to do track, cross country. So she went into that for whatever.
Snowboard in the winter, not sit on the trainer. Needed a break.
Hannah's like, if I live in this climate, I don't know if I can race because I don't want to sit in the basement. So she went snowboarding. She did competitive snowboarding. She took like this 3-year break. Suddenly we get a call, first weekend away at Queens. And she's like, guys, could you bring some gloves and some whatever? I'm going to be at Hardwood. She joins the Queen cycling team. We run over with gloves bike shoes. And she got full back into racing for Queens. So it's neat to see that if she hadn't been able to just let that go and we asked to say, what do you mean you're not racing? She had to find her way. And I just love that she came back to it. Now on her own and is back into racing, never mind just loving cycling. She's actually back, and it's just neat that you hate for anybody to burn out and not want to cycle, like you said, just for fun. So
Hannah, where are you at with cycling right now?
So right now I'm riding with the Toronto Hustle women's team. They started with a men's road team and then just this year brought on a women's gravel team. So I got to link up with that crew, and unfortunately not really any racing so far, but we've definitely been trying to just do some DIY gravel stuff and keep a little bit of a season together.
Nice. And did you participate in the Hustle did the COVID?
Yes, Crush COVID, the 24 hour Zwift marathon. So I was not on for 24 hours, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But I did a couple shifts and led some of the Zwift events throughout it. And yeah, that was an awesome event. Feels like ages ago now, but...
I know. It's been a wild summer without actual events.
Yeah. So that was super successful.
So you had you were going to do the DK and then...
Yes, we were supposed to head down to Dirty Kanza. Been a bit of a roller coaster. We sort of thought we were going, and then they bumped the date back to September. So we were like, oh, okay, you know, maybe there's some potential there. And then they've ended up just canceling it completely now. And I think, honestly, it would have been a bit hard to get to the U.S. anyways. So we're deferred, and hopefully next year we can maybe get down there and give it a go.
Get a full squad.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So are you guys doing all virtual, or are you guys actually, because I know your team's a bit spread out.
Yeah, most are in Toronto. We've done a few virtual things, like we ran a couple Zwift things earlier in the year, and then we're hoping to kind of do like a DIY steamboat. So we're going to make our own course over in Collingwood, big gravel day, and I'll do that together. So that's going to be good to get everybody out and riding together finally.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
And Wendy, what's your riding been like lately?
I'm on a road e-bike. Okay. So that's been awesome for me. I was in a bad accident about 8 years ago, which ended all cycling for me for quite a few years. Luckily, had the ability to start back on a trainer a couple years ago, and now it's translated fairly successfully to an e-bike. So no mountain biking for me, the e-bike has been life-changing to get back out there with my family and for my own sanity and whatever. So I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's incredible because, I think it's hard to, if you get into something and you love it and then it's taken away from you, unfortunately you're out of control of it. If it's nice, you can get back in control and on whatever terms that is.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when it's such a part of family life, in general, it definitely was a big hole, and it still is a hole, but the dog is snoring here, so it definitely is a big so to get back out there for a few endorphins, a bit of adrenaline is really great. So that's been life-changing the past 2 years. Well, really the past year for me. I got it last summer, so just getting used to it.
And did you guys, is Dave your neighbor? He was, he had a bit of a health thing he was going through, and then were you training with him to get back?
Dave Viney, our neighbor, he had a heart attack, very surprising thing. And so he was in very introductory back to stuff too, and so it was great to have somewhere out of the house that was set up with a trainer. I could have my bike, and so it started out just trying to do 20 minutes, and I think the fact that there was another person there saying, hey, you're gonna get on your bike today, you're gonna try, like, I mean, obviously I had some quite specific health restrictions and heart rate restrictions, but it's also really helpful then when it came to it to have that other person. And it also wasn't sort of in your own house that I had to go downstairs or something that was easy to blow it off. There was someone you were kind of accountable to. Yeah. So definitely that was a great sort of jump start for me to be able to get back doing some training.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's good you're getting back out. So family rides are happening now.
Pretty exciting. So sometimes I look over because it had been so long, and I'll be riding beside Kevin because of the e-bike, and look over and just think, I can't believe I'm out here riding beside you again. Like, it's amazing. And so, you know, I'm obviously big fan for e-bikes, and you know, if it's going to get somebody back out biking again, I think they're just fantastic. You know, you hear some people, oh, e-bikes are cheating and whatever. And I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty incredible for our family, you know, with the cycling that we've done historically to, you know, three of us, Hannah, Noah, myself, would head off and Wendy to be at home. And then just in the last year for the three of us to, you know, like be able to ride and grab a coffee somewhere and ride home. It's like, you know, shed a small tear that is possible now.
Yeah.
And it's pretty incredible. The e-bikes are amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what do you got on tap right now?
Me? I'm doing a bunch of individual coaching, mostly of road athletes at this point. And then currently actually working on a new junior road team for Ontario, for Canada. Just looking to take what I did a few years ago with Centurion Boys, repeat and refine and make it better and maybe even go further. So actually it's funny, this morning Noah and I were just going through my pitch deck for sponsors and stuff, and I had Noah's perspective, and it was good. So we're just generating a sponsorship prospectus for 2021, looking and hoping that this COVID kind of environment improves and it we all are safe, and then as soon as it's safe to do so, we can get back to like what we know as normal or a version of it.
Yeah.
And so as we transition into that, I'm hoping to start fresh with a new batch of juniors and really focus on, I don't know, what I think is like a missing piece for the road endurance athletes at the junior level. They're just kind of not getting enough high level racing experience. And I know when I had the Centurion boys, that was our mandate, was like, okay, let's take these guys to Georgia for Speed Week. Let's take them to Abitibi. Let's take them to Europe. Let's take them East and West Coast of Canada. Let's get some exposure. And yeah. If I take a look at what we accomplished with Centurion, like, boys, three of the boys signed like pro road contracts. You look at two or three of the other guys, they're in doing amazing in other disciplines, right? So whether it's cross or track or time trial or whatever. So cross too, like, anyway, so yeah, I'm working on a new junior project. I'm just lining up all my ducks and getting everything organized, and you'll see a really cool unfolding and a release shortly.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so maybe we can touch on last night. What were you doing last night?
Actually, Brody Sanderson and Colton Woods will attest that I was the only guy on a hardtail at the first ever, what did you call it?
The Horseshoe Trail Showdown Downhill Series.
So a Horseshoe Trail Showdown. Actually, it felt amazing just to strap a number on. Like, it was, you know, I pulled out the zip ties and I was like, you know, okay, this number's going on. I'm going to get a call up and I'm going to, like, yeah. So last night I went to Hannah's event, and I'm sure she can elaborate on what it's all about. But I had a blast being probably the oldest guy there and the only one on a hardtail. And
still did all right.
I survived.
Yeah, I think I was fifth out of 10 guys.
In the Masters,
yeah. And everybody was on, everybody else was on squish bikes. And Brody was there shooting some GoPro footage, and Colton was the fastest guy down the course. So it's kind of cool to see local podium up top. So, and cool. Then Hannah won her women's category. So, yeah, all around, I don't know. Yeah, it was super fun.
Yeah.
So you want to fill us in on?
Yeah, so, I'm working down at Horseshoe in marketing right now. And so with things kind of starting to open up a bit again, moving into phase three, we were able to put on a downhill series for the summer. So we kicked off the first night last night, a 6-week series, and we're going to mix it up so it's on a different trail each week. So the downhill format kind of luckily caters to keeping people pretty spaced out. So, we were able to throw something together, and yeah, it was awesome. We had like 61 riders out last night, and, I think everyone was just so happy to be at something, like some sort of an event, no matter how casual or intense you were looking for. It was, yeah, awesome just to see so many people out and excited to race bikes again.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What's the chances of getting you on that next week?
Honestly, like, my mountain bike's in the shop this week, so I would have loved
lies.
To
be... Lies.
It is in the shop. And I would love to be out. I think, yeah, honestly, like, this all COVID's done for me is just kind of brought me back to some of my roots, like mountain bike riding. So it's given me a really good chance to get back in the Copeland, back kind of on the Simcoe Mountain Bike Association trails. And just, like, I don't know, ripping on the trails again. So I would love to come out and rip the downhill race. And I'm over at Horseshoe. I'm shortcut down some of the downhill trails to the Copeland. So I'm quite familiar with them. But, yeah, I'd love to race. So, yeah.
I think maybe your sister could organize that downhill rental for you.
Yeah, I'm also on a hardtail. So I'd love to have a dropper post and some rear suspension, but. Hardtail will do.
New family crown. Okay, next week.
I think I saw some footage of you and Quentin in Copeland at some point.
Yeah, me and Quentin have been riding a lot. We, I don't know, just filming for fun and stuff. Like, we grew up riding those trails together. Him, me, Brody, Gunner, all those local guys. You know, we were always back there. Spent hours back there. I know those trails at the back of my hand. And I took basically like maybe 3 or 4 years of just racing road where I just spent so much time training and focusing on kind of the road side of things that I hadn't ridden my mountain bike in, you know, 2 years. And just being able to get back and ride with Quentin, and it's so hard to hold on to his wheel. Those guys are so good, but I'm just slowly getting back to it, slowly just trying to hang on. And him and I are having a lot of fun just mountain biking. And
That's cool. What has your road season been like? So who are you with now?
So I'm racing, racing's in air quotes, but I'm racing right now for Team Skyline. It's a professional continental team in the States. Team Skyline is based around helping people with diabetes, type 1 diabetes, raising awareness for that. and raising money for people who can't necessarily afford the equipment. And well, we haven't really done anything racing-wise pretty much since the majority of the racing's in the States, or anything up in Canada here is kind of postponed. I went to one training camp with them, had a lot of fun. We were right on the coast in Carlsbad, California. So we had an awesome trip, riding all morning and going for a quick surf in the sunset. So probably one of the funner like training camps I've been on. And I haven't seen them since, but I'm really hoping to get back and riding with them soon. Maybe if the border opens up. And there's a couple guys in Quebec City, in the Quebec area. So maybe I can make a trip up there and ride with them. But for now, it's pretty much just riding for fun and yeah, just kind of staying healthy and stuff.
Nice. And what was... maybe we should touch on Zwift, because that's part of our... Were you a Zwift guy?
Zwift's an amazing...
I feel like there's a story here.
Yeah. So, I started actually making t-shirts. This is a funny story. And it's a big hashtag on the back that says, you can't drift on Zwift. And I will admit, like, it's going to sound hypocritical, but I think Zwift is an incredible training tool. Right now I'm studying mechanical engineering at Queen's, so I'm stuck in Ontario. I can't go on training camps. I can't fly off to Spain like everyone else. And, so I've been using Zwift all winter just to train. And, you know, if you can, it's way easier just to crush an hour on Zwift. You don't have to wash your bike. You don't have to, you know, really get changed and get bundled up. But I do love riding outside, and I started riding because I love exploring and I love, you know, being out on the open road. So I kind of said to myself, like, you know what, you can't drift on Zwift, you can't, you know, you can't explore, you can't go to a coffee shop on Zwift, you can't, you know, ride new roads on Zwift. Well, once you've maxed out Zwift like I have, if you spend a whole winter on Zwift, you'll see all those roads. So, like I said, I think Zwift's a great training tool, but I definitely am not a huge fan. It takes a lot after a whole winter to keep getting on there day after day. And yeah, it's kind of my two cents.
Kevin?
Yeah, I use it in the winter for sure. I cross country ski at Harwood in the winter. So I find myself migrating to the ski trails first. And then if the conditions aren't as good, I default to the trainer in Zwift. And then I race for Sound Solutions. And we usually have a weekly Sound Solutions ride. And I find that super valuable to just connect with everybody. Just be able to chat while you're riding and, I don't know, integrate. Like, that's a social piece, and you don't get that for in January. So I find myself on Zwift maybe 3 days a week, on skis the rest of the time. And if a weather window occurs, I'll get out on my winter bike and hit something outside. So that's my winter program.
Wendy, are you on Zwift?
Yeah, I'm on Zwift, and that's the only way I could start back up. I mean, I used it for training back when I was training, but you know, now as a part of a rehab yeah, very valuable to me. And the feedback of it was really important that I had heart rate and could kind of track a bit of progress. So conditions are always the same on Zwift. You know, I'm not dealing with anything else, so it's direct feedback, and I really needed to have that information. So yeah, no, really valuable for stuff I was doing for sure.
Yep, I was also on Zwift for the winter. Again, yeah, it's good training tool. It at least gives you a little more engagement, and some of the racing just gives you a little bit of intensity. You do something kind of different. Similar to my dad, if I can get outside, if it's cross-country skiing, or tried quite a bit of fat biking this winter, which was fun to be able to mix things up, I definitely would take advantage of that. And then, yeah, fill in the gaps with some Zwift and, yeah, get those bike miles in.
Yeah, I tried Zwift, very casually, and then some people told me about, getting the Zwift Companion app. And then Discord.
Yeah.
So then that made it a little more enjoyable if you could actually like talk to somebody, like, mm-hmm. you're actually on a ride. And
Discord's good.
Yeah.
And I mean, some of the events, I mean, 24 hours a day, there is a group ride or a race on Zwift because of the time zones around the world. That, like, sometimes it's fascinating to me who you can sometimes get on with. And depending the time of the day, you'll say, like, oh, there's tons of people from Europe on. You know, that's because it's, you know, their time. I just think it's pretty incredible how they've globally connected everybody. And if you, you know, you need a whatever level race at any time of day, 24 hours, you can get it. And I think that's pretty fascinating. So
it was cool just going back to our Crush COVID event that just seeing the worldwide participation in that, you know, someone from Japan and Spain and all over the world were all riding their bikes at the same time virtually, which was actually pretty cool to see.
Yeah, and you guys had some pretty high-level, I think Leah Kirchman.
Yeah, we had you guys. Yeah, had quite a few people pop on and join us for different segments, which was awesome. We're with Basso and Elite Trainers, and so they have a big European following, so I think they were the big support crew for Travis and Brad at 3 a.m. was all the Europeans.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it was good.
It was also pretty incredible for me. Like I said, I'm kind of locked out from my team because they're all in the States. I'm in Canada. So being able to hop on and just being like, oh, yeah, let's go for a ride with, you know, people that are kind of, you know, locked down in COVID all across the globe, being able to hop on and just, go for a ride with your teammates. And, yeah, and you can't see them at all. It's a great, great channel, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I watched one. Someone sent me a link. There was a Canadian Nationals on Zwift.
Yeah.
So I watched that and it was... You're watching numbers, but it was kind of cool to see like the wattage at some of those guys. Did you do that at all? Or?
I didn't, but my team raced a lot on it, and it's just incredible seeing some of the watts that these guys are throwing down. Like on Zwift on their trainers, Bruce Bird, a local legend. You watch him in some of the series, and he's just doing like 450 watts for the whole time trial, and you're like, this is crazy. Like,
I think there definitely is a knack. I guess. I mean, I haven't been doing any racing on it, but from what I hear, that it, you know, it's a whole different sort of world racing on Zwift and getting...
You're throwing down for like an hour. And it's like, what you can do for an hour, like, let's see it. What you got, like, what do you have? And it's definitely a different style of racing compared to like when you go off to Redlands and do like a 4-5 hour race. And like the heat up and down like hills, and then Zwift is just like, okay, 40 minutes, let's go. And definitely a different style.
Yeah.
It was Andrew Watson and Trevor O'Donnell finished top 10, and I was watching their numbers, and it was ridiculous how many watts they were throwing down.
Yeah.
And like just to keep in the top group, and then there was a Lionel Sanders, I think he's a triathlon guy. He was in that top group, and just incredible how much...
It is a numbers.
Yeah, numbers.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
For sure.
And I think that's what you miss out of it if you love the, I know for Noah, I think particularly is loving sort of the strategy, the chess game of a road race, the skill set, and you know, and it's very different on Zwift. I don't know if you.
Yeah, I love a good rainy technical crit. You don't get too many bike skills on Zwift. So it's not really my forte.
It's always raining on Watopia when I'm on there.
The traction's always the same though. So
yeah,
it's definitely a different game than a normal race, but still fun.
So is that your favorite type of road?
Well, crits don't necessarily suit me like super well. I'm more of kind of a hill guy, anywhere kind of between 5 or 20 minutes uphill. I love that short, steep kind of stuff. But it really has to have a technical factor. I feel like I'm a pretty, all those mountain bike skills that I kind of brought over to the roadside, they really help me, and especially when it's raining, when it's like, you know, some uneven surfaces. We're kind of bombing around corners left, right, and if the rain comes down, the more technical, the better personally for me. So. Yeah, there's one stage that I raced in Redlands, and it's like the final stage, and it's called the Sunset Circuit. And it's just 5 minutes up, 5 minutes down, and it's just left, right through the neighborhoods, over anything, you know, steep pitches, down, like, you know, up, down, and then culverts, everything. And it's just one of the hardest, most technical stages, and I love that. I think that's the best.
Yeah.
Like,
cool.
Yeah.
Abitibi circuits too.
Abitibi circuits.
Up north in Quebec, there's a race that we went to called
junior
the Tour of Abitibi.
We're butchering the name. It's like
something
French.
The final circuit is in this small town called Rouyn-Noranda.
Also butchered the
name. Yeah. Anyways, it's a
it's
small
like
circuit,
day.
And there's like furniture, like road.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
It's pictured as like a little small like Quebec town, just left, right, up, down, and
roads are whole here.
200 juniors from every country speaking every language. Just picture that. And,
chaos.
Yeah. If it doesn't give you anxiety, I don't know what will.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Good. So what if we what if we don't have much of a race season? Obviously, road in Canada looks like it's a bit of a wash. What if we get cross? Are you hungry to strap on a race plate?
Oh, absolutely. I think it'd be really fun to get back to it. Especially just like, even if it's like a local scene, it'd be fun just to, I miss like the race day vibe. I miss kind of just going around and seeing everybody. And also just that competitive side of things. Like, if I could hop back and even if like an Ontario local crit, I think it'd be super fun. But I mean, as far as like the race season goes, I mean, it's all about safety. You can't push it too soon. So sure. I'm okay with waiting until next year if it means everyone's staying safe. And I think there's some rumors in the mill that someone's trying to organize road nationals, but you know, it's always rumors. Yeah. Based on the trend of the last, you know, 3 months, everything keeps getting canceled and pushed back. So I'm okay with the road season not necessarily like beginning, just because we're already so late in the game. It's almost like, what, mid-July now? You know, August is coming up. I start school in September, so it would be pretty hard to try to juggle that race season. If you're doing a full race season in October or November, that'd get pretty difficult pretty quickly trying to juggle those two things. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think the mountain bike season's really compressed.
Yeah.
For Worlds, anyways.
Yeah.
They're just jamming a bunch of races in 4 weeks or something like that. Yeah.
Which is just crazy when you think about it. Like.
Yeah.
Well, I think the safety factor, I think, comes into it because you're putting more people at risk if they're on mm-hmm. time.
I think in Romania today, it's one of the first UCI races that are allowing multiple nations. So I think it'll be a good test to see how that goes. Mm-hmm. I think there's a women's race in Spain that three teams were barred for racing because one rider tested positive for COVID. I shouldn't say tested positive, but had COVID.
Yeah, cycling tested positive.
They got a positive test for COVID, yeah. And I think three teams were barred for racing. And so I think like Romania, this men's race in Romania will be an interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that kind of unfolds, and if you know a couple of positive tests come from Romania, I don't know if the whole Tour de France and Giro d'Italia and Vuelta will continue. It's a very international schedule the way it's kind of set up right now, you know, starting in Italy, moving over to the Spring Classics, well, Fall Classics now. And I think it's going to be pretty interesting seeing how it unfolds and whether or not it actually kind of works the way they're hoping to run it.
Yeah. And how's school going?
School's going really well. I'm enjoying mechanical engineering. It's really fun. I've always been a math and science guy, a bit of a techie nerd guy. So for me, it's really fun kind of just matching my passion for cycling with something kind of outside of the sport. It's giving me a really good balance in how I race and train. And just having something off the bike to do, kind of take your mind away from cycling. I think so many people focus on bike racing just 100% and they don't really have anything kind of off the bike. So as I arrived at school and I had, you know, my classes, my studies, some exams, it just gave me another thing to focus on, and it's been really fun. I met so many new friends, so many new people, people with different, you know, hobbies outside of bike racing that you can kind of go to and, you know, hang out with, and you're not always just have your mind on cycling. So it's been really fun, and I'm looking forward to the next 2 years.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I think you've had the same experience with school. It was good to...
Yeah, similar. I wasn't racing quite as full-on as Noah was when I was in school, but... I was at Queen's as well and was on the Queen's cycling team. So that was kind of, I had taken a bit of a break from cycling leading into that. And so the Queen's team kind of brought me back into racing again. So I got to do a mountain bike season in the fall and then head down to the States and do a road season in the spring. So it definitely still had its own full-on elements where you're weekend down to the US, leave like Friday at noon, getting back Sunday at, I don't know, like midnight after 2 days of racing, and then you'd be in classes at 8 a.m. Monday. So there's definitely a balance in trying to juggle school and riding. But I think it kind of like Noah was saying, like it's good to have that balance and keeps you kind of efficient and just, yeah, on top of things. So.
And as much as you guys cycle as a family, you guys also, you like to get away from the bikes. I mean, I know you guys go south and bikes are still part of it. But,
We did a couple teaching exchanges to Australia years ago. We traded our jobs and lived in Australia and lived the surfing life. So that's the surfing is very much a passion of our entire family. Nice. So we're down to Costa Rica to surf quite a bit, and then we do a lot of like stand-up paddleboarding and I don't know, right into yoga here, like in the valley, and I don't know, yeah, anything to kind of balance out the biking that's still health and wellness kind of oriented. But yeah, we're definitely a surf and bike family.
I think it's cool you guys have a strong bond, obviously, no matter what you guys are doing. I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool traveling. Like when we went to Australia, like when you take off for a year, you don't know anybody. You only know each other, and so the four of us, having done it twice, we become a pretty tight family, because you sort of land in this foreign country, you don't know anybody, each of you just have each other, so you're doing stuff together, and then you gradually meet friends and integrate into the Australia life, and then you travel back home, and it's like, oh wow, we're back together, you know, but we're in our own country. So yeah, I think Australia was really valuable for our family as a pretty tight group.
Yeah, I can remember us getting there the first time, and I think, I don't know, Noah and I were just like having some little argument or something. My dad just turns around, he's like, "You two are the only people you know in this country. You're gonna have to be friends." And we're like, "Oh, yeah, okay, like, good point." And so we kind of joke about that, but it's really true that we were like, are each other's best friends for a while, and we're pretty similar and all like the same thing, so it's easy to do lots together and have fun.
That's an incredible experience.
Yeah, it was good. We laugh now because, of course, they're both living at home. So it's kind of
can't get rid of us.
Yeah, so back together. The band is back together.
Yeah, but we call each other housemates now. So
yeah.
It's just like, okay, can the housemates please take the recycling out? Put the peanut butter back.
That's good. And has that allowed you guys, you think, to, you think you're going to branch out from Cathedral Pines, or
sure
is this,
hope so.
I didn't mean this house, just meant in general.
No, it's been an awesome home base, which I think is why we kind of keep coming back. Like, the riding's so good here, and it's an awesome spot to be. And especially for me, just finishing school, it's been kind of good to home base here and sort of figure things out. But hoping to travel and do some other stuff at some point too.
This scenario with COVID has just really given us chance to, you know, I feel like I've sort of got a bit of extra time with these guys that I wouldn't have had at this point. A lot of Hannah's summer jobs have been away for the summer and hasn't been home much between school and those summer jobs, and this has got her back, and Noah normally is gone racing, and from a young age Noah sort of fast-tracked his last semester of school, lived in Girona for a semester, you know, he's been gone a lot as well, so it's kind of a neat thing that in a way that, you know, everyone's back here again and back at the home base.
We ride together, like, just the bubble of us,
yeah,
you know, which is kind of fun. Hannah and I have done a few DIY things. Mm-hmm. And Noah, like I said, has been out on the mountain bike back in the Copeland. And, yeah, and you and I have gone for coffee over to...
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty nice that when your bubble that you've had to be in is this highly skilled level, biking level, you know, for Kevin and either kid to go biking, your training partner in your bubble is pretty high level training partner. So it's pretty nice that when you are locked into just the four people, they're pretty good training partners that they have.
I find it pretty funny because we all grew up racing, together. And it's funny because now we're all quarantined together, but it's the same thing for a ton of different households that we all grew up racing with. So it's not just us that are back home, but it's Quentin and Peter was home for a bit. Brody's home, Gunner's home, one of my old friends, Cole Schumacher's home. Everyone's back in like the neighborhood. It's kind of like getting the gang back together.
Yeah,
and, like original hardwood squad. When you're like,
the Centurion Next Wave squad or the hardwood squad. It's like when you're riding around with these guys, you're like, wow, this is just like the exact same thing, just 10 years later. So it's pretty fun to have just everyone back together riding together.
Cathedral Pines Cycling Center.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to know when there's like an official jersey for Cathedral Pines get the squad together.
It's super funny because that was coined by Brendan Arnold at the OCA. He wanted to know why
this neighborhood
was producing so many high-level athletes. And it was ironic because our basement downstairs is where I used to coach almost everybody here. And that's where I tested everybody. And so Brendan Arnold was convinced that something was going on at Cathedral Pines that was
what's in the water?
That was
what's
secret.
Yeah, I brought a bunch of empty bottles.
I
know. Yeah.
I mean, the number of athletes that have passed through this house is phenomenal in this neighborhood and training out of this basement and being tested here. It's pretty...
You go around counting the national championship jerseys, like
in this neighborhood, and yeah. It trained out of this house where it was like this was a revolving door of, you know, on a Saturday morning, someone being tested at 9:30, whatever, and it's like, hi Wendy, and then, you know, someone would come up, go use the shower, next person down and it was always, I mean, it was a great atmosphere.
Yeah, that's good.
But some huge volume of talented bodies come through that door.
I think that's the awesome part of hardwood and you know, not that it's specific to that place, but that you guys, as much as you are a cohesive family from being at that place, like all the friends you guys have that you still ride with now, if you're in the same place, you know, you'd ride with that person. I think that's pretty awesome if you can form that bond for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, pretty neat. And it was always neat too, because it was a group. Guys, girls, like they learned, like the girls were riding just as much as the guys were. Like, I really loved that element of it, that it was just a big group and it was a mixture and, you know, they just rode together. It was a great friend group.
Yeah.
And we always laughed because as they got older in teenage years, we'd joke, well, we know no one's not getting into any trouble because they can all be drug tested at any time. So we kind of laughed at, yeah, all the kids are all together, but they're going to be home at 9:30 and no one's, you know, doing anything substance abuse because they all can be tested. What a perfect parent scenario, you know. Yeah, we kind of awesome. Laughed over the years at that.
Yeah. It's good you guys are all in this neighborhood too, because you're not even having to travel to go see your buddies. Like,
yeah. But I just walk over.
Yeah, Staples and Quentin were here last night.
Yeah, for a quick bonfire. Yeah. Just walk over, ride your bike over. Like, yeah, you don't even need a car. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you know Eric Van Wiesenbeck? Anyways, he's BCC guys. And so Eric's idea was he found this route, or he made this route, and he said, I just want, as a team of four, to average 40K an hour. It's pretty doable, because for 100K, it's 560 meters of climb.
Yeah.
Anyways, John Maloney got a hold of that and went out on his road bike. He did 39.3.
Solo. Yeah.
Johnny's so fast. He's so fast. It's crazy.
So okay. I don't know if you boys want to team up to do a duo or...
We got 39.3.
39.3. Yeah. Keep that in your radar.
Yeah, now we'll process that.
100K TT. That's a long ride. It's a long TT.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, figure that out. E-bike?
E-bike. Yeah.
Strava doesn't have rules for that. Let's go for it. So maybe we should touch on, like, do you guys have any plans this summer? Like, you're obviously running this race.
Yeah, I'm just, balancing working and riding. I was off for a little bit, Horseshoe kind of closed down, but we're pretty, like, back in full swing of things. Lots of biking stuff going on, the lake's open, hotel's running, so, lots of things to tell the public about.
Someone told me that you guys got a new downhill guy?
Working...
Matt,
he's been here for quite a few years.
Okay.
But yeah, no, him and the trail crew have just gone to town and really like upped everything on the downhill trails. They've been putting a ton of work in. And if you're somebody that rode at Horseshoe like 4 years ago, definitely come back because it's a different place.
Yeah, summer plans for me is just more of the same. Like, I think what I'm craving, or what lots of us are craving, is just that actual getting in the car, like preparing a few things for like bike ride fuel and water, and get in that car and then drive to a destination, unload, ride with, you know, either people in your bubble or people you feel safe with, and then completing a task, riding home and talking about it, right?
Yeah.
I've done one yesterday down to Peterborough to ride with one of my teammates, and we rode a bunch of the Reggie Ramble stuff, right?
Nice.
So can't do Reggie Ramble, but I got in the car and I made it there, and we had a beer afterwards kind of thing, and
nice.
It was great. And then Hannah and I have done the Growling Beaver course, so load the car, same thing, coffee after, and that, yeah. So for me, for the summer, lots of that. And then I'm not too sure what the fall will bring with COVID and the school system, but I'm just kind of paying attention so that I'm ready to adapt to that.
Trips to Em's Cafe?
Yeah, Wendy and I went to Em's Cafe. Phenomenal people there, like nice. Amazing people. And yeah, they're so welcoming. And Wendy and I, it's a perfect route, eh? It's like 30K there and a little bit of a coffee break. And I'm a butter tart guy. You're date squarish.
Yeah. Many treats.
And then a 30K back. And it works out well. Wendy's on the.
Works e-bike. Out for my battery.
Yeah. I should crush me on the way back.
Yeah. So that's the only thing with the e-bike is figuring out. Riding with people and how much battery you use with different people.
Mom was gauging us by what type of battery level ride you were. Like, oh, I'm on like full power. Like,
yeah, because
you're like a 50% battery kind of ride.
So it definitely depends. So that's when I'm working out learning is how far my battery can go, riding with who, and how I ration it or.
Yeah,
because you'd be crushing 500 watts on a climb.
Yeah,
and she'd be talking like da 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 da. And she's got her e-bike on going. So
well, for the e-bike, it's interesting because it's sort of the opposite of a regular ride for me. If we're on a sort of slight false uphill or a flat, these guys can easily ride over the speed of my e-bike, which is 32 kilometers an hour is the max North America speed. So.
Okay.
They kindly usually stay within that range for me. But as soon as it's over that, it's, it's all me. So that I could be working much harder on flats or on, say, downhills, whereas I can rest more on the uphills, which is the opposite of your normal ride scenario. Uphills are harder and you're like, oh, I can spin on the flats. Well, that's harder work for me. So I've been trying to figure that out, so.
Yeah, well, that's good. There's always learning.
It's
cycling,
a fun side of it. So.
Is that a Tesla charger? You need an e-bike charger.
Yes, I'm trying to get my engineering son to keep thinking about all the ways to expand e-bike power and, a solar that's charging as you're going. A little super lightweight you can have in your jersey pocket. You stop for coffee and you can just plug in a little... supercharger that gives you an extra 20K, all kinds of things. So I keep harassing him to go that route.
How's that going, man? You got some trademarks out there?
Not yet. We'll see.
He's got his own agenda.
So. Yeah, maybe wait till I graduate.
All right, fair. That's
good. A couple more years before I'm doing that.
Yeah.
These are all dinner table conversations, right? Sit down at this very table right here and then like we'll start in on a thread.
Yeah.
It could be Wendy's e-bike idea and that'll consume dinner.
Well, we start on a thread and it always ends up biking somehow. We've had other people over and I try and say, look, we don't always only just talk about biking in this family, and the kids go, come on, Mom, yes, we do.
Don't
teach yourself. It always ends up being.
We talk about surfing, too.
Yeah.
So
then it's like, oh, the riding in Costa Rica is pretty good, too.
Circles back sometimes.
It'd be really sweet to ride after that surf. We're always, always tying back.
Costa Rica is kind of funny because we bring our kit that either got very little use or is still brand new or wasn't sized right or whatever. And we bring it to Costa Rica, and the cycling environment in Costa Rica is massive. Like they just are going crazy for cycling. So we bring like a suitcase full of jerseys, and now when we go for a ride in the jungle, we'll like Toronto Hustle this way.
A little like original hardwood jersey.
Yeah, those hardwood
Team
jerseys.
Canada jersey going by
a little kid, right?
Centurion next to it.
Awesome. It's really funny. And we've done a couple loads. They went to stuff down. Like remember the old Three Rocks Racing? Like Michaela Coffin giving me all the stuff she never ever wore, and it fits the Costa Rican people perfect, right? Because they're all small.
Yeah.
And anyways, it's good, really good. We do that regularly.
It's awesome. Any plans for you this summer, Noah? I mean, obviously we've got like a month and a bit before you're back at school. But
yeah, honestly, I've kind of taken this summer with the perspective, like how many times in a racing career will you get a chance just to live a pretty normal summer? So that's been kind of my goal. I've been like, you know what? I can race for the rest of my life, but this is probably a one-off that I'll just have a summer off racing. And I've just spent a bit of time, like I said, getting back to mountain biking, hanging out with some friends, just, I don't know, doing normal stuff, and it's been really relaxing, kind of refreshing. And after so many years of just kind of going, like, all summer, like my mom said, I would, you know, finish school. Even in grade 12, I took second semester off of grade 12 and just, you know, I was in Tucson, I was in California racing from, yeah, like April all the way to September.
Yeah.
And it's just been pretty relaxing just to have, you know, maybe one summer that I could have some downtime and just, yeah, just kind of be normal, go up to some cottages and, yeah.
Nice. So next Wednesday, I'm going to bring my camera to Horseshoe. Am I going to see you there?
So are you getting proof that I was there?
Okay.
I see. Yeah. I'm laying on the table. I'll be there.
Oh boy, that's good.
Next Wednesday.
We gotta get Brendan Matheson out now.
I'm gonna see him tonight.
There you go.
I'm gonna tell him that.
I saw him. I sent him all the details.
That's a shout. That's a call out.
Sims family versus Matheson. Maybe.
Yeah. He said he's got a brother, so maybe, I don't know if he's local. Maybe we can drag him.
Yeah, there you go. Point system or something.
Yeah, that's right.
I gotta find you guys beforehand because I saw a photo of you, Kevin, last night. I wouldn't have recognized you in that kit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm used to Sound Solutions, I think, now at this point. I'd have to find you guys first.
We should have some sort of family challenge, like Sims, Holmgren, Staples, Fabro, you know.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of families like us that are, you know, busy racing, you know, at good levels. So,
yeah. Be fun. I was out at Hardwood this morning, and not for anything, but... I saw someone in full spandex and, like, not baggies or anything, and I was like, oh, okay. And then I got a little closer, and I'm like, oh, that's Gunner. So we're like, hey, man, I haven't seen you in a race kit in, like, forever, so this is cool to see somebody.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
All the, like, Hawaiian shirts are coming out of the road, and, like, keeping it casual.
Yeah. I remember you and I went to Provincial Time Trial Championships, and you and I both, this is our first crack at it, right? And we were like, how's it going? You're like, oh, I don't know, I've never done this before. I'm like, me neither. So, and it was 30K, bulletproof flat, minute in between, and I'm pretty sure two guys caught me. I don't know about you, but we ended up looking at each other going, I don't know if time trial is that thing. And I know I sold my time trial bike about a month later.
Actually, did you do that too?
What year?
That was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Wasn't it the one that got saved? No one was hosting it, and I think...
Yeah, I forget where it was. It was somewhere, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
hour away from
somewhere
here.
Flat.
Yeah, somewhere flat. Yeah. That one actually went really well. That was, like, probably one of my only good time trials in my life.
I think our basic, like, raw math was, okay, this is 30K. The road is 15, so it's going to suck twice as bad.
No, I think your math's wrong. It's four times. That's exponential.
Yeah. But we had that look in our eye at the end. We were thinking the same thing. We might not have said it out loud, but we were like...
Like at the turnaround? Like you were coming back, you were going out?
No, this was in the parking lot.
Okay.
Yeah, we had sort of wrapped up our event, and we were like, yeah, I'll see you back on the cross bike.
All right, well, why don't we wrap up then? We'll hit you with the bell lap question. So what's your 15-second power?
I honestly don't even know. I feel like I've just been doing so many long miles or dirty Kansas mode that has not been the focus, or just mountain bike, don't even look at power.
Oh, that's cool. Ready?
I'm an e-bike, so it can be whatever I want it to be.
Awesome. Data geek right here, 816 watts. Here we go.
Nice. I'm somewhere around 1,000.
Oh boy. How do you take your coffee?
Ooh, a little bit of soy milk.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a latte coffee person.
I need a hit of sugar, to get me through.
Nice.
I'm in engineering school, so just black.
I'm with you on the black. Do you guys have, I've seen Quentin is a bit of an artist with a coffee. Do you guys have one in house?
We're not on Quentin's level.
That's my morning commute over there.
We just show up in his driveway.
No, we're French press. We're a French press family usually.
Yeah. That's cool. Pineapple on pizza.
No.
Definitely.
Yeah, hardcore.
Of course.
I get my own pizza when we order.
What happens?
The odd one out. I don't know.
Yeah.
A Don't do the pineapple.
Raisins and cookies.
Yes.
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
Maybe it's like a last choice.
Really?
Better in butter tarts.
All right, fair enough. French fries. What do you put on them?
Ketchup.
Salt.
Pepper. Salt and pepper.
Frites and mayo.
Nice.
Ooh. So Belgium.
I went to Crossworlds once, so I can say.
All right, well, thank you very much, Sims family. Thanks for having me at your house, and thanks very much for sitting down and doing this. It was awesome.
Yeah, great.
It was really fun. Awesome. Super fun, man. Yeah, always good to connect with you, and glad you could come to our place and, do this.
Let's do this again in a year so we can figure out where everybody's at that point.
Okay.
Yeah. Or sooner, if you want.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Really want to thank the Sims family for having me up to the Cathedral Pines. You want to watch for Hannah with the Toronto Hustle Women's Gravel Team. That'll be the next little bit. And you want to watch Noah for Skyline. And big things coming from Kevin Sims, obviously, in the next little bit. And, watch out and give a kudos to Wendy when you see her out on her e-bike. She'll be ripping around that area. Thanks so much for tuning in, folks. However you found us, I'm super grateful that you did. On the socials, we are All Wheels Pod. You can get us at allwheelsrolling@gmail.com. We're on Spotify, iTunes. Anyways, thanks for listening in. Hope you enjoy and have a great day.